Okay, my name is Michael Corcoran, and I will be interviewing Griffin Watson about bookstores and their importance to American history. Hi, Griffin.
Anyway. Hello, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Okay, I guess to start off, what bookstores have influenced you? Or, like, what bookstores have you been affiliated with in the past?
Let me think. Well, one in particular is the Book Barn in Niantic, Connecticut. It's one that I go to quite frequently. And they have quite an extensive collection. They started out originally in a small corner of this three-story barn on their property, and then they just kept growing and growing and growing. And now they have that barn, they have three more barns that they filled entirely with books, and then they have three store locations in downtown Niantic. So they have a very, very large number of books, and they're a rare and used bookstore.
Okay, that's cool. What makes that bookstore, I guess, like, so memorable for you, like, influential? Like, what makes it good?
As a person who loves books, I could just spend hours there going through all the books that they have. I also have fond memories of finding specific books there. One specific instance of that is, it was one of the last times I was there, I actually found a first edition of The Marble Faun by Nathaniel Hawthorne.
Okay. Okay, did you, like, gain this appreciation for, like, books and bookstores from your family, or did you kind of get that from personal experience?
My parents definitely played a role in my love for books. My mom started teaching me to read when I was at quite a young age. And I'm not even kidding with this, in fourth grade I had the reading level of an 11th grader. So I guess my parents did a good job. But and they also told me growing up that no matter how expensive a book was or no matter how many I wanted, they would always buy it for me, and they did. So that really helped grow this passion I have.
Okay. That's cool. It's definitely nice to have. Let's see. Do you have a favorite, like, genre of books or, like, a favorite group of authors? I know you're, like, a history major, so.
Well, I've always been quite fond of the, what's called the classical American canon, especially Melville, Hawthorne, and Washington Irving. I've always been terribly fond of Washington Irving.
Okay. What kind of books does he write, like?
He was an author during the early Republic period of America, and a lot of his short stories and books were had a folk tale sort of characteristic towards it. A lot of them were based in New York, which is where he was from, but he was kind of seen as the father of American folk tales. The Legend of Sleepy Hollow was written by Washington Irving.
Okay. All right. Do you think bookstores are dying out in this time period, or do you think they're still thriving in some scenarios?
I think it depends. Certainly the large corporation-type bookstores such as Barnes & Noble are definitely dying out. Most of the books that one would buy at Barnes & Noble, one can buy online, which, quite frankly, is much easier. However, I think that the rare bookstores and the antique bookstores are thriving, as in many of the places where I've lived, there have been many antique bookstores.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so do you think if bookstores were to die out, it would be easier or harder to access information?
If bookstores were to die out, I think it, to a certain extent, it would be much harder to access information. If you're looking for, say, a book or a source that is no longer in print, or very few copies of it were made, then it is quite difficult sometimes to find that sort of thing online. One thing I can think of in particular is I have, my family has a couple books made by the Roycroft Printers, and some of them are you can't even find transcripts of them online. So if bookstores were to die out, there certainly would be a void.
Okay. Going along with that, and like older books and stuff, have you ever come across like anything unique or like an antique kind of book that stands out to you?
Yes, there are two specific memories I can think of. One of them is at the book barn in Niantic. I once found a first edition of The Marble Faun by Nathaniel Hawthorne, I was very excited to find that, because it is very rare to find that well-known of a book, like a first edition of it. The other experience that I can think of is, I summer on the Cape, and every year when we drive back to Connecticut or to Maine, we'll always stop at this bookstore in Dennis. And it's a pink house. I can't remember the name of the bookstore, though. But one time I bought a Book of Common Prayer, which is important to me as an Episcopalian, and I thought it was a British Book of Common Prayer, and I thought it was from the reign of Queen Elizabeth II. However, in reading it, I found that it was actually from the reign of Queen Victoria, and it was just in such a good condition that I thought it was a modern Book of Common Prayer.
Okay, that's cool. Now, I know that you're a history major, and do you, like, in the past, have you ever, like, looked at, like, history, like, the history section of bookstores, and, like, what kind of stuff do you come across there that you're interested in?
Yes, well, I am particularly fond of architectural history, and one time I was in the book barn, and I actually found a book that had a lot of information on vernacular architecture in colonial New England, which, of all the forms of architecture, that is my favorite form. And it was really fascinating, not so much seeing the different, like, small details, but the different forms of houses that they built, which reflected, like, the climate and their occupation.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so the next question I have for you, how do you think college bookstores compare to, like, the bigger chain bookstores, like the local bookstores that you've seen?
It really depends. In my own personal experience, I've found that the large state university bookstores tend to be geared more towards school pride items such as clothing. But, like, my family goes to, the Yale bookstore in New Haven a lot, and, their bookstore is, well, most of the bookstore is books, it's not, apparel. So I think it depends on the institution.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. When you're in a bookstore, do you, like, know what you're going to get immediately and, like, kind of just go to the shelf, pick it out, and walk out? Or are you kind of like the people that tend to browse around?
I like to browse personally, largely because usually when I go to, well, I don't really go to the big box bookstores. Usually I go to the smaller, rare and antique bookstores. And with those, you don't know what you're going to find. And I think that's part of the fun of it.
Yeah, I definitely think that that plays a factor, and like the big versus small store thing. In this day and age, do you think, like, when you have to buy a book, do you, like, immediately go to the laptop and, like, go on Amazon or something, or do you still prefer, like, to go to, like, a physical location and purchase a book?
If I want, like, a book that just came out, I'm much more likely to just buy it online. If I'm looking for a rare book to add to my collection, then I'll go to a location. I never buy those online.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like it's, in this day and age, it's more of a convenience just to kind of go to the store and not have to worry about.
And with rare books, the other thing that one has to consider is that you have to know what the condition is of the book. You could have the most important book in history, but if it's in horrible condition, it's not really worth buying. And with online things, such as auction houses online, you can't judge what the condition of the book is like. You're just going off someone's... you're just trusting in someone else's word. So that's why I never buy rare books online.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I guess what I'm going to bring up next is, personally, I like sports-related books. Like, I grew up an athlete, and that was just kind of, like, what drew my attention. Like, do you have any, like, sport-related books that, you know, you have an interest in or you're reading?
Yeah, well, right now I'm actually reading The Boys in the Boat by Daniel James Brown, which is about the U.S. Olympic men's rowing team and how they went to the Berlin Olympics in 1936, and their quest for the gold, and that really resonates with me because I am joining. I joined a rowing team this year, and I have a lot of friends who are involved in rowing, and it's a big sport in Connecticut. So, and I really enjoy it.
Okay. Yeah, it's nice to see someone has similar interests and topics. Okay, you mentioned, like, you traveled all over the past couple of years, like, even as a child, but you said you grew up partially in Canada for part of your life. Like, do you have many bookstore experiences there? And, like, if so, how do they compare to, like, bookstores you've seen here in the States?
Yes, I actually lived in the Westmount borough of Montreal, Canada, for 3 years. And you would certainly have, Montreal is a bilingual city. There's a Francophone community and an Anglophone community. And the thing with Montreal is that the communities are very, very separate. There's certainly a divide geographically in where they are in the city. Anglos tended to be in the western half of the island and Francophones in the eastern half. So where I lived, bookstores really weren't that different because they were all in English. But obviously the quality of the bookstores was much better because of the socioeconomic situation of the part of Montreal I lived in. But if one were to go to the eastern half of the island, one would find, French books. Something I just remembered, actually, Côte Saint-Luc was the borough next to ours, and it had a very high Jewish population, who were Anglophone. And my mom used to take us to a Jewish bookstore. That was actually run by an Orthodox Jew family. And so they had a very, very, very small section of books that were actually, I believe they were in Yiddish. But then about half of the store was English and the other half was French. So that was a really neat experience, seeing the multilingual aspect of the city all encased in a bookstore.
Okay. Yeah, this is a little bit off topic, because this is how it influences America, but I think it's nice to see, like, a difference in comparison to, like, another country. So to bring it back to the States, like I said earlier, you, like, traveled a lot as a kid, and, like, you've been all over the Eastern Seaboard. Like, have you noticed any major differences or even similarities between bookstores?
Well, the first thing is that, for the most part, all the bookstores are in English. largely the biggest difference I would say is the quality of the bookstores, depending on where you are. There's a bookstore my family goes to, in particular my father likes it. It's in Midtown Manhattan, and the books there are generally of the highest quality. The books they specialize in range from the early 1700s to the late 1800s, and for the most part, they're almost all first editions, and of very, very, very superb quality. But in our summer town in Maine, there is a small family-run bookstore, and the books are a bit in a rougher shape, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But that's really the only major difference.
Okay, that's good to get that kind of perspective. So you've, like, clearly expressed, like, your interest in, like, hard copy books and, like, going to bookstores and stuff, but do you feel like the rest of your generation, like, feels the same way and has similar interests, or do you feel like with this new electronic book purchasing, like, movement we've had, that people are leaning more towards the electronic versions?
I think that with my generation, people still like to read the original hard copy books. I actually remember debating this in one of my high school English classes, and I was quite shocked at the time, because as a bookworm, I thought no one else was, and basically there was no debate, because all of my fellow classmates said that they preferred reading the hard copy books. I remember specifically Victoria said that she felt that you didn't get the same experience reading it from, like, a tablet or a Kindle. Also, going off of that, I remember a lot of people buying Kindles and then having them for a few years and never using them again. So I feel like there's still that preference for a paper book.
Okay, so to wrap it up here, how do you think bookstores have a connection with, like, oral history?
Well, you can meet such a wide variety of people at bookstores. People just have such a diverse amount of interests. You can have people coming to bookstores looking for history books. You can have people coming to bookstores looking for cookbooks. You can have people from every sort of walk of life, every life stage. I feel that bookstores can really serve as a microcosm of the larger community. So if you were to, say, conduct interviews of people at bookstores, you could really get a good sense of the community at large.
Okay. All right, very good. Those are all the questions I have for you. Do you have any other comments?
Not that I can think of.
All right, well, thank you very much for this interview, and yeah, thanks.
Thank you.